Okay, this is our second shiur on Kosev. I just wanted to recap what we did last time. It's not really so pertinent to what we're going to do today, but just so we should keep everything in mind as we go forward. We mentioned last time that there is a one of the malachas of Shabbos is Kosev, and the shiur is Beis Osios. Person who writes one os is chatzi shiur, and we would consider that to be lashon midrabanan, and it's lav dafka in Hebrew, even though the words Aruah's opinion was that it's only lashon hakodesh and maybe yavanis. We pask in Rama's machmir that it's bechol lashon. Even though the Rama quotes it, the achronim are not happy that he quoted it, and we would consider it any lashon. Person writes two osios is chayv midarais, so one os is chayv midrabanan. The Rambam's opinion was, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch too, that it's lav dafka a word or osios, even a tzura, if a person makes a picture which tells a story, which, you know, tells, gives a message, not in cryptic code. We said a simen, we would, is not kosev midaraisa, but if a person has a tzir that has a mashmaos, that would also be kosev midaraisa. And sometimes it comes out, a person makes just a line. Mishnah Berurah says just a line, is that a tzura? So Mishnah Berurah says even if it has some sort of purpose, that's considered to be chatzi tzura. It would be also midrabanan. But if you make two lines, like a quotation mark, right. So then that might be midaraisa. Anyway, that's what we spoke about last time. Today I wanted to talk about a rule that the Mishnah has, that a kosei bedavar she'eno miskayim is potter. If a person writes in a non-permanent type ink, that's potter. The Tosefta in Shabbos says that it's lav davka, non-permanent ink, even if it's on a permanent ink, but it's a non-permanent surface. Like I write with regular ink, but I write it on a plastic bag, so it won't last. So that's also potter. Either way, that it's Eino Shel Kayama is potter. This is similar to a Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah in Gittin says also that a kosev bedavar she'eino shel kayam is not a ksav le'inyan get. And the Tosefta in Gittin says the same rule, almost verbatim, as the Tosefta in Shabbos, that it's lav davka, I write with a dio she'eino miskayim, even if it's a dio ha'miskayim, but it's on a davar she'eino miskayim, the surface is eino miskayim, that's also not a ksav le'inyan Gittin. And Tosas, the Ritva, and the Ran, and Gittin quote Lahalacha, both the Tosefta and Shabbos, and the Tosefta and Gittin. It sounds like everything is parallel. Shabbos and Gittin, that if it's either a Ksav Sheino Miskayim, or the surface is Eino Miskayim, that's not Ksav Linyan Shabbos, it would be Pater, it's Pater of Alasar, but it's Pater, and it would not be Ksav Linyan Gittin. So then it sounds like, ostensibly, that this is not a din in Hilchos Shabbos. This is not because Melechus Machshev is also Torah and I need something that's of permanence. This is halach and kol Torah kua, that a ksav she'eino miskayim is not a ksav. The Rambam splits the psak, and the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin says that if a person writes on olin, on leaves, not an Ol Shel Zayis. Ol Shel Zayis, the Gemara assumes, is a miskayim. It's a different type of leaf. Even if I write with Dio, that's not a ksav le'inyan Gittin. Oh, I'm sorry. That is a ksav le'inyan Gittin.
One more time. The Rambam writes.
The Rambam writes in Hilchos Gittin, the Rambam quotes the Tos. The Rambam does not quote the Tosefta. He quotes the Mishnah that if I write with a Dio she'eino miskayim, that's not a ksav le'inyan Gittin. But if I write on something, on a surface, which is Eino Miskayim, that is a Ksav Linyan Gittin. Whereas in Hilchos Shabbos, he quotes both the Mishnah and the Tosefta. That Bein B'Ksav, Bein with the surface, that's called Eino Miskayim. Basically, what comes out is in Hilchos Gerushin, if it's on a surface, which is Eino Miskayim, that is a Ksav, even though in Hilchos Shabbos, he said, if it's on a surface, which is Eino Miskayim, that's not a Ksav.
So it's more
Machmir
by Shabbos.
More Machmir by Shabbos. So the Magen Mishnah asks a Stira. If it's a Mishnah and Shabbos, a Mishnah and Gittin, a Tosefta and Shabbos, a Tosefta and Gittin, why does the Rambam split the Psak? So there are two basic resolutions or understandings to, it's more of a reconstructing, understanding what did the Rambam say? Or how does the Rambam view this halacha? So the Mekevis HaMishnah and the Pri Chadash both say the same thing. which is, I guess, an obvious answer, that in Hilchos Shabbat, in Kol Torah Kula, if a person writes with an ink, which is Miskayim, that's Ksav. If the ink is Enu Miskayim, that's not Ksav, in Kol Torah Kula, not in Halacha and Hilchos Shabbat. So therefore it applies Bein Linyan Gittin, Bein Linyan Shabbat. And there's a unique Halacha that's local to Hilchos Shabbat, which is because of some sort of halacha, malachas, machshev, has nothing to do with ksav and kol Torah Kula, that the surface also has to be miskayim, has to allow the ksav to be miskayim. But that's not halacha and kol Torah Kula. So in Hilchos Gittin, if I write with a permanent ink, even though it's on a temporary surface, meaning it will only allow the ink to last temporarily, that is a ksav, because in kol Torah Kula that's sufficient. But in Hilchos Shabbos we have a higher standard, and you wouldn't be chayv from Lachav Kosev unless the surface itself allows the also allows the ksav to be lasting. The Devar Yechezkel quotes from a Beis Shmuel and Evan Ezer, who has a different shot. For some reason I thought the Magen Mishnah sounded this way, but I don't know if you necessarily that's necessarily what he's saying.
Didn't the Magen Mishnah just say that it's a contradiction.
Required kayam. Right, so I think this
could be what he
goes back and forth.
Which is the same as
Or could be the same as the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel says that in Hochus, in Kol Torah Kula, it's enough if I have a ksav that lasts for a few seconds. Or a little bit. He doesn't give a shear. I have a ksav that lasts l'shah for a little bit. That's called a ksav, as long as it lasts a little bit. By Hochus Shabbos, I require that the ksav last longer. If it doesn't last at all, that's not a ksav, bein mi hilchos Shabbos, bein mi kol Torah Kula. But in kol Torah Kula to be a ksav is enough if it lasts a little bit, and Shabbos I need to last longer. So the Beis Shmuel understands that even if I write on a surface that's not, doesn't accept the ink, it'll still last there for a little bit. A few seconds, a few minutes. And then sooner or later it dissipates. If you write on a plastic bag with ink, it'll last for a little bit, and then sooner or later it dissipates. So that's enough to be called ksav or kol Torah Kula. If the ink is Enu Miskayim, the Beis Shmuel's assumption is that won't last at all. But if the ink is Miskayim, just the surface Enu Miskayim, it'll last a little bit, but not permanently. So that's enough for Kol Torah Kula, not enough for Hilchos Shabbos, because in Hilchos Shabbos, unique halacha, it has to last more permanently. And David Yechezkel is a raya to the Beis Shmuel from a Mordechai, which is an important point. The Mordechai proves from the Mishnah in Gittin that if a person gives the get to his wife while the ink is still wet, that's not called a ksav. The ink has to have dried already. So the Devar Yechezkel asks on the Mordechai, where do you see that in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, "Akotzeh b'diosh enu miskayim." A person writes b'mei peiros. It's enu miskayim. Why is that not? So the Mishnah says that's not a ksav. How does he see that it has to dry? So the Devar Yechezkel answers because he holds like the Beis Shmuel, that what is called the ksav in Hilchos Gittin is that it lasts temporarily. So ask the Mordechai the implicit question, may peros also last a few seconds? So why is that kosev b'mei peros not good in Gittin if it lasts a little bit? So he says, because it only lasts kozman that it's wet. This must be how he understood. So you see from the Mishnah that something that's while it's wet, that's not called the ksav, because even may peros lasts while it's still moist. So it must be that there's another halacha you see from this Mishnah that it also has to have dried. Once it's dried, then we can start figuring out was there a ksav here or not. Because otherwise everything lasts for a few seconds. That's within the Beis, that seems to go along the lines of the Beis Shmuel. So what we have coming out is that it seems to be that there's a machlokas Rishonim regarding this halacha of, or machlok, maybe a machlokas Rishonim, regarding the halacha of a ksav that we require for Shabbos to be chayiv, a ksav ha-miskayim. Most Rishonim understand that that's halacha in Kol Torah Kula. Any ksav that's not miskayim, it's not a ksav, it's nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, halacha in Kol Torah Kula. And for the Rambam, that might be the case for the Mekavis HaMishnah for the Pichadash, that if I write with an ink that's Enu Miskayim, that's also halacha in Kol Torah Kula. What's unique about Hilchos Shabbos is that if it's from the surface, Enu Miskayim, that's unique to Hilchos Shabbos. Only for the Beis Shmuel within the Rambam, then it's halacha in Hilchos Shabbos that has to last longer. Otherwise, it's not halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, halacha in Kol Torah Kula. based on this type of understanding, Rabbi Halperin, Levi Yitzchak Halperin, Talmid of Roshon Hazaman primarily, he's the father, if you will, of the Grumma movement, I guess we could call it. Tzomet in Gush is one organization. He has his other organization, Machon, was something or other. I forgot what it's called.
What do you mean, the father of
Grumma? This was his innovation. The gramophone, the Grumma, all these type of things. Tzomet is a rival.
Yeah.
Maybe they would hold it. They're the father. I don't know. But they're competing organizations, and those two are in the same niche. So one of Rabbi Halperin's inventions was to make something for doctors, an invisible a pen that disappears after a few days. So a doctor needs to take notes, write something on the chart for a patient. So it's always an issue of kosev, midoraisa. So in order to lower the prohibitions, he tried to make a pen that would erase after a few days. Why do you have to do that? If pikuach nefesh is mutter for choa shiyesh basakana, why do I have to try and lower the prohibitions? Says halacha in shin chav ches, in hilchos chole, that the Ramah says a person should always do akala kal tchila. We try and lower the prohibitions as much as possible. Even though writing on a chart for a patient, this patient took medicine at this time, is pikuach nefesh. Otherwise, the next doctor will come in and give him the medicine before the time. Or, this patient is a heart patient, not a liver patient. It shouldn't take out his liver, whatever. Anyway, so he wanted to lower it by making the pen that it should disappear. So he says, so how long can it last that it should not be in Malacha Midaraisa? So we spoke about this when we were discussing Tzoveya, that the Mishnah says regarding Boneh, the koha osa malacha umelachto miskayemes b'shabes. Anybody who does a malacha and the malacha is miskayemes on Shabbos, is malacha is eno miskayemes b'shabes. Oh, I'm sorry. Koha osa malacha miskayemes b'shabes is chayev.
Yeah. That
I think that's how it goes.
Don't clear what Shabbos is.
Right. So the malacha has to last for Shabbos. So Rashi there interprets koha osa malacha umelachto miskayemes b'shabes. Is chayiv. The b'shabbos is not going on the malacha last for Shabbos. The b'shabbos is going on the kola osa malacha. Whoever does the malacha on Shabbos and the malacha is lasting. Well, again, lasting would be vague. Then he's chayiv. So we wouldn't necessarily be able to glean from this mishnah that if it lasts just for Shabbos, you would be chayiv. However, the Rambam quotes the exact lashon hamishnah when he's discussing malacha of tzoveya. Quotes the he imports that language from Bona to tzoveya. So I think Dain Weiss says, the Sharetzion already says that you see from this Rambam that the halacha of shir kiyum for boneh, for tzoveya, for kosev, he includes kosev as well, would be Shabbos. As long as it lasts for Shabbos, one would be chayiv. So by Halperin's pen, if it lasts till he takes notes Friday night, he needs it at least to last till the next day. So he says, as long as it lasts on Shabbos, woman be chayiv. So then you can't really, you wouldn't have any yetzah over there. So Dain Weiss was not into these pens. Minchas Yitzchak, in his letter to Rabbi Halperin, was not happy about these pens. He thought it didn't help at all, because he passed on like the Sharetzion that by all of the malachas, the shear is as long as it lasts for Shabbos, woman be chayiv midoraisa. Rabbi Halperin distinguishes, and he says the following. He says, true, even if you are right, that that's what the Rambam meant by Tzoveya, Kol Osa Melacha, Umelachto Miskayemes B'Shabbos, is Chayev, and the Shir is just Shabbos, perhaps that's only Tzoveya, or Kose, or Bone. The Mishnah is by Bone, the Rambam imports it to Tzoveya. But who says that that applies to Kosev? Kosev, says Rabbi Halperin, is not Halacha in Shabbos. If it's halacha that's local to Shabbos, so as long as it lasts for Shabbos, that's malachas machshavas maybe. But in kosev, if it's halacha and kol Torah kula, the fact that it lasts for Shabbos should be irrelevant. Presumably, it has a totally different shear. So Rabbi Halperin argues, even if the Sharetzion is right, the Minchas Yitzchak is right, that's the shear for Shabbos, it's not the shear regarding, that's for Tzoveya maybe, for Bona, not for Kosev. Because most Rishonim hold that Ksiva, HaMiskayemis, is a Dinah called Torah Kula, not local to Chashamis. Shlomo Zalman disagrees, we mentioned it, I think, when we were in Tzoveya. Shlomo Zalman disagrees entirely. He doesn't make this distinction of Rabbi Halperin. He disagrees entirely with the Sharetzion and Minchas Yitzchak. And he says, no, there's no raya from the Mishnah. The Mishnah Rashi already said isn't talking about that. The Mishnah means kol osa melacha b'shabes, so melachta miskayemes is chayev. It's not to be read that way. And he says, the paradigm is the Mishkan. How long did the letters that they wrote on the Krushim, on Keresh Aleph and Keresh Beis, how long did those letters last? He says, if they lasted only for Shabbos, it wouldn't be very helpful. It must be that they lasted for a longer period of time. And the Bir Halacha quotes from the Rashba that it's a longer shear. Rashba disagrees. This is what they point. He points out the Bir Halacha is Soser himself, Soser the Sharetzian. Sharetzian says enough with a day, but just for Shabbos. The Bir Halacha quotes from a Rashba that it's a shear chashuv. It's more longer than a day. Sometimes you have steers in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Bir Halacha, Rav Shlomo Zalman sides with this Rashba. It's a shear that's more chashuv. So he thought the pens wouldn't be such a bad etza for the doctors. So lower the prohibition to only nisim midrabanan. So Dain Weiss argues that a shir chasha for doctors is 3 days. He says, what kind of doctor writes neatly? They probably write sloppily. So they write the neat sloppily, then they hand it to the secretary within 3 days, and the secretary rewrites it. So as long as it lasts for 3 days, that's a shir chasha. Anyway. But Rabbi Halpern's argument is based on what we just said, that this is a local halacha, is not a local halacha to Shabbos. It's in a kol terakua, so presumably the shiurim that are mentioned by Tzoveya and by Bonus should be irrelevant. Even a ksav that's enu miskayim, though, is also midrabanan. The Mishnah says, pater, but we generally pater means pater lavo aser. So therefore the Mishnah Berurah, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that person writes with meperos or something like that, even though it's enu miskayim, it's still also midrabanan. So the Mishnah Berurah therefore says a person, let's say, I don't know, it's a foggy day or something, and you want to write your name in someone's car, or clean me, you know, in a dusty car, that's also midrabanan. Or to write in the snow, some kids like making those angel shapes. So that would also be, even though it's only temporary, would be a tzura, midrabanan, which might be awesome. Because it doesn't last. The Ramah over there, though, on that sif, where he discusses ksiva she'ena shel kayama, says that if a person is allowed to make, to write in the air, I write A or B, because that's nothing with nothing. So to the poskim say, if I want to make some people are very handy in making shadows of different animals. So the poskim say that that's also not kosev, because there's no ksav, there's nothing with there. It's just visually, it seems to us like there's something there, but it's not anything. What do they call that? Anyway. Right, that's it. Thank you. So Shlomo Zalman says also, he sounded cute, how many people write in the air, but this might have a very important application to computer screens. Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Nishmas Avram, also doctors, I think it was in the context of Rofim, typing things into a computer on Shabbos. So it appears on the computer screen. So Shlomo Zalman says, yeah, but it's Iksav She'enu Miskayim. It won't last on the computer screen. So he says, Naksav Midaraisa, but the implication, he never says Zas Midarabanan, but the implication would be that it's also Midarabanan. And many posts can assume like that, let's say you have a closed circuit television, a person walks in front of a video screen and your image appears on the screen, so then that would be Kosev Midarabanan. Why? Because it's not going to last. Ksiva She'enu Shekayama, once you leave, the Ksav leaves. Or you scroll up and down, it's gone.
Is there a problem with light? Moving around, you open up a new window, right? And then it's white. I don't know. You just get
makes
a white
a shadow.
Screen. What?
No, I think that's like the shadows.
That's the same thing with no light in terms of
a computer screen.
Yeah, in terms of Havara, something like that. Nothing to do with Kote. Causing light. The computer screen is lit.
Has no bulb in the back. Maybe 1,000 years ago they had.
No, it doesn't actually have a bulb, but it has light coming up. It's emitting from the screen.
LEDs, or this important horror, LEDs or LCDs, anything that has no filament is just electricity. We would assume, api halacha, even though it emits light, It's just electricity. The only time you have Havara Shaila is when you have a filament, a glowing metal inside. Like, also fluorescent lights, but fluorescent lights have a starter, which sparks and ignites the gas. So, but once it's burning, there's no Havara, right?
In alternate motors, not
is there a bulb in the back?
I mean, so there's something that's shining like pixels onto the screen.
Right. Is there a bulb though? Have you opened it up? Like it burns out once in a while and you have to replace it? I've never heard of anyone replacing a bulb in a monitor.
I mean, they do die after a while.
Well, there's a tube in there. Not a bulb, it's a tube.
Yeah, but is there a filament inside or is it just
no, it's
gases? How does it heat up?
An oscillator flicks electrons at the screen.
Hold on that thought. We're going to get to in 1 second. So Shlomo Zalman said he considered it to be, it's not us with the rights, it's us with the abundance. We'll get back in 1 second. So the Orach HaShabbos also quotes like that from Rebbe Yashiv, that a computer screen Zeinu Shel Kayama, or it's not, I don't know, it's not Derech Ksiva Bekach, but I don't know, that's how most people write now, it's on a computer screen. So he held that was only Asa Midr Abanan. Shefter also told me this morning he thinks walking in front of a computer screen would be, you know, a video closed circuit television or typing on a computer screen would be Asa Midr Abanan because it's Kosev Zeinu Shel Kayama. However, in the Truman Journal from a long time ago, there's an article about closed, there's an article there with different tshuvas from different people about closed circuit televisions. Closed circuit televisions is just a video camera with the TV hooked up to it. So there's an article, a letter there from Rabbi Neuwirth, where he says that he heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman that Rav Shlomo Zalman meant to say it's not kosev midoraisa and it's not nothing midorabanan either. It's mutter. It's not kosev. At all. It's not even kosev sheino shel kayama. Huh? Rabbi Neuwirth, Shmir Shamas. So Rabbi Blayach has an article, I think, in the fifth volume of Contemporary Halachic Problems, where he explains why he thinks that this is so, or maybe this was explained to him, this is what Rosh Hashanah Zalman meant, is that these screens do not, Rosh Hashanah Zalman compared it to the shadows, it's like a person making shadows on the ground. So Rabbi Blayach explains, because most computer screens work with gases, that, I don't know, for some, however, maybe you understand the teas better than I do, the gases get heated up, and or it gets excited in a certain way, and it makes this shape, or this color. So since it's just gases getting excited, that's like making shadows. There's no ksav, there's no background. It's just things, I made an elaborate shadow. Rabbi Halperin also compares that, I think also there in that issue of Tchumen, compares that the person looks in a mirror. I also created an elaborate shadow. But we don't consider that to be kosev either. So they assume that a computer screen is to be compared to a mirror or making shadows on the ground. It looks like some sort of optical illusion, but it's just elaborate shadows. I don't know, does that fit with your understanding of computer screens? This gas is getting excited? It's pixels. Anyway, we could discuss the Matthias afterwards. In that article within Truman, there's also a tshuva there from Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe also said that he thought the writing on the computer screen would be ksav she'eno miskayim. Then he says a cryptic line. He says, v'adif mimenu. It's even better than that. But he considers it to be ksav she'eno miskayim, but then he throws in the v'adif mimenu. So Rav Black says that's what he means. V'adif mimenu means that it's this type of idea, because there's really no ksav. It's just gases getting excited. So if there's no ksav, so one would be permitted to walk in front of a closed circuit television. Rav Moshe held that it's ksav she'eno miskayim, it's also midrabanan. So Rav Moshe was meiko because it's a psikreshe. He was meiko on psikreshe. The lo nichu ena derabanan. I'm walking in front of the closed circuit television. It's not my building. I could care less about the security of this building. This guy cares about it. So for me, I could care less that I'm on his computer screen. And the ksiva is only enem iskayim, it's only asa midrabanan, so it's a psikreshe, the loniko, enem midrabanan, Rav Moshe was meiko.
So Rav Moshe doesn't agree fully with
Rav Shalom Zalman. No, I think he said, right, according to Rav Shalom Zalman, Rav Moshe says it's ksav she'enem iskayim, but then he throws in this va'adif mimenu. It's even better, perhaps. But he considers it asa midrabanan, but Rav Baruch says that idea that he was toying with, the va'adif mimenu, was that. I don't know.
If it's for someone to put up a closed circuit TV for your own house.
For me, then that might be more of an issue.
Meaning, if you're walking in front of it, so you don't care about
right.
the image, you care about the image of a gun up here.
Right. Right. Well, let's say I'm the president of YU, and I want all the video screens. Right. Right. Yeah. Then maybe it would be more of an issue. Then it's an obsequation lo nichle. It's a davar miskaven. I want it to work.
Right. But no one wants your. Is there a case where you're passing in front of it and you want your own image to appear?
So this is a big suffix. I mean, I throw it out to you. This is a machlokes. I've had this machlokes with contemporaries of Shelta. Shelta says one way. I don't understand it, and that is that they consider that to be a davar shena miskaven. I think if a person, I want my system to be working. If it wouldn't catch me, then my system's not working properly. So if I want my system to be working, I want to appear there too. I want the good guys. Meaning, Rav Shelta would say, I only want the bad guys on the video screen. Anytime a good guy appears there, that's a davar shena miskaven. I say. In my mind, that's hard to say. I want the system to be working. If the system's working, it catches the good guys and the bad guys. You can't say, yeah, I want it to be working for the bad guys. No, if it's working, it catches everybody. So I would consider that a davar hamiskaven. But I think most poskim go with the other side, that you're right. I want it to catch the bad guys. Any good guy, even if it's the owner, is a davar shena miskaven. Because I don't want it for me. I want it for the thief. But you heard, I think it works. One could say it the other way, too. That no, I want it to be working for the thief, which means it has to catch the good guys too.
Is there any significance to the fact that something's going to be appearing on the screen no matter whether you're there, whether you're not there? Something's going to be on
no,
the screen.
No, but it created a new image.
You're not causing a mitzvah to happen. You're just causing. You're just changing which.
Right. You created a new tsura there. Now there's a picture of a person as opposed to just scenery.
It's an image of whatever is there. You happen to be you're there or you're not.
So
there.
It's a new picture. If I draw. Person on a background that's also causative.
But you're not causing a Maizik Siva to happen. The Maizik Siva is not going to happen whether you're there or not. It's just a question of which kind of
Maizik. Alright. As far as not brought up. I hear what you're saying. As far as not brought up. We mentioned when we learned Sad though that Rav Shelta was Mako also to walk in front of the video cameras, which they have. Oh, by the way, if you're here on Jabba's all around this building, they have video cameras. Because based on the Rashba, that as long as a person is not handling the item itself and he's doing something else, and Malach is happening unbeknownst to him. So Psik Reshe, where I'm not holding, where I'm not handling the item, the Chefta Shamalacha, they considered that the Rashba was Mekel. Like by closing the door with the Tzvi inside, I just wanted to close the door. So if I just wanted to close the door, I don't have to worry. Since I'm not handling the Tzvi, that's not called the Psik Reshe. So to over here, since I'm not handling the Kosev, I'm just walking. So it's a pshik reshe would be mutter. What if it's not a closed circuit television? Doesn't save on anything. What if it saves on something? So is that some sort of now is it ksav hamiskayim because it's saved on a tape or something?
That's most security cameras do.
Right. So the Yerushalmi, both in Hilchos Shabbos, both in Maseches Shabbos and in Maseches Gittin. Says that if a person writes, they wanted to send messages back and forth, encrypted messages. So he write something in Me'afatzim, which was an invisible ink, and then you poured some potion on it, and it became visible. So Yerushalmi says, a person who pours that second ink on Shabbos, is he chayiv or not? So Yerushalmi says, he is chayiv. You can't decode the message on Shabbos, because it's like a ksav al gabi ksav. The invisible ink is one ksav. The second ink is a second ksav. And the Yerushalmi says, at least, that the halacha is that a ksav, a gabi ksav, where the second ksav is adds significance above and beyond the first ksav. A dio gabi sikra, sikra gabi dio, not dio gabi dio. But it's a different type of ksav on top of it adds something. More than the original ksav, one would be chayv on Shabbos. However, the Prima Gadim discusses a similar case of decoding messages, where he says they would write something in milk, and then I knew the message was written in milk, and on Shabbos I would bring it next to the fire, and I could see what was written in milk. So Prima Gadim says that's not kosev on Shabbos, to bring the piece of paper to the fire on Shabbos. So Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Har Tzvi asks, what's the difference? Why? The Yerushalmi says a person who decodes the message is chayev. Here, the Prima Gadim allows a person to take the message written in milk and decode it, eat till the fire. Why is that permissible? So he says, you see from the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi calls this case a ksav agabi ksav. The first ksav that's written in Me'ah Fatzim, or the invisible ink, is also called a ksav. Just the second ksav adds something. So I'm chayv because there's a second ksav here. But the first ksav is also a ksav. So when does Yerushalmi say I'm chayiv is if I added a second ksav? What if I don't add any ksav to the original? The original ksav is a ksav, so, but instead of adding something, I take it to the fire. And now it's visible. So I'm not making a second ksav that I could be chayiv on Shabbos, I'm just reading the first ksav. So Prima Gadim's case should be mutter, because there I'm just decoding the first ksav, which is indeed a ksav. I'm not making a ksav when I bring it to the fire, it was a ksav already. As you see from the Yerushalmi, the invisible ksav is called the ksav. Just in Yerushalmi's case, I added a secondary ksav. So then I'm chayiv. But they're all talking about decoding a message. Let's say I want to write something in a message that's invisible, or that's not invisible but unreadable on Shabbos, like on a videotape. So don't you see from the Yerushalmi that a ksav she'eino nikar is called a ksav? That's why the Prima Gadim allowed you to read it next to the fire, because I'm not writing it when I bring it to the fire. I'm not making a ksav poof. It was there already. What if to write that invisible, then it should come out that to write that ksav in milk should be usur. So Shmira Shabbos discusses taking pictures with film on Shabbos, so he says you're not allowed to. Why? I can't, it's kosev. No, we're talking about, you know, the old cameras where you wound it up, no electricity involved. So I snap the picture and then it gets zapped onto the film. So Shmira Shabbos says, because I could later read that off the film. You could develop the pictures and you'll have that would have been kosev. Even though right now, while it's in the camera, I can't see it, I could make it that it will be readable. So that would be kosev.
They say that they're right.
That's kosev midaraisa, miskayim, yeah. Or it's very, very dark. He's saying, but I could hold it up to the light. Right, but you could develop
so
it.
There is a picture of it.
Right. So they have. That's why they held it ksav, because I could develop it in such a way. However, right, because of that point, with Zev Lev. So I'm not exactly sure of his position, but also involved in this world of the technology and halacha and Eretz Yisrael. Somehow related to Rav Shechter, I think it's a machut or something. So Zev Lef has an article in the journal called, which no longer comes out, called Halacha Rufua, where he argues that when is that true, that putting something on film is kosev, as if there's an imprint on the film, but a videotape or a disk, certainly a disk in a computer, there is no latent image there. It's magnetic information, however videotapes work, or however computer disks work, the binary code. But it's not, there's no image there. So he says, nah, that's not Ksiva Shell, that's not Kosev. It's just ones and zeros. Shmir Shabbos was talking about a picture, or the Yerushalmi is talking about with this exception of Sheino Nika right now, but I could make it Nika because there's the ksav is there, not when it's just magnetic or binary code. However, we did mention when we learned Makabah Patish that Rav Shlomo Zalman felt to save something onto a disc or onto a videotape would be Masakin Mana. And if it wasn't roy for anything before, it's Masakin Mana Midaraisa. And if it was roy for something, I don't know, but I think we said, right, if it was roy for something before, it would be Masakin Mana Midarabana. As long as I increase the functionality of this item, that would be Masakin Mana. So to save something onto, let's say a doctor writes something on the computer, he wants to save the file. So according to Shlomo Zalman, there might be nothing while he's writing it. To just type on the computer might be nothing with nothing. It's just elaborate shadows. Then when he wants to save it, then perhaps that would be Masakin Mana. Maybe Midarabana, maybe Midaraisa. Even if he saves it onto the hard drive, because before the hard drive had only a certain number of functions. Now it has X plus 1 functions. So it would be Masakin Mana. So that article, though, of Zev Lev, he disagrees with this assumption of Shlomo Zalman. He argues that to save something onto a disk is not Masakin Mana. He says, then every time I write something on a piece of paper, it should also be Masakin Mana. Masakin Mana, he says, means that I changed the item. I made it more functional, the gufo. Not that I wrote something on it. That's not called changing the functionality of an item. That's called adding information. That's not, he has a hard time considering that to be Masakin Mana. I hear that argument. My only objection would be that we mentioned the Gemara says that a kosei vosachas b'sefer, person v'hishlam es ha-sefer, person writes one letter and he's mashlam the sefer. So Gemara says yachai mishum kosev, even though you normally need two letters, here where it's a letter that's choshev because it finishes off the sefer, yachayev. So the Meiri asks, why not makar b'patish? We discussed at length when we were discussing makar b'patish. How come when I finish a sefer, there's no makar b'patish? So for Zev Lev, there shouldn't be makar b'patish. I didn't change the item. Meaning every kosev, we did bring up the issue, why isn't it makar b'patish? And we answered, either because makar b'patish is a second last resort, malacha, or because makar b'patish is not involved in the etzem creation of the item, it's only something that's a post-creation of the item, a finishing touch type idea, and kosev is always the creating of the item. So I think we do consider every kosev to be makar b'patish. Just other things get in the way. But that's his argument, that saving on a disk is also not makar b'patish. Yeah? That's what Zev Lev's argument. So my argument would be, we would. I think if it wouldn't be kosev, meaning we consider makar b'patish the last resort. So since it's kosev, so there's no makar b'patish. What if it wouldn't be? There would be no kosev. Like I write one letter. Right, so how come every time I write one letter, isn't it makar b'patish? Right. Because it's kosev midrabanan. I don't know. Maybe he's right. I don't know. Maybe he's right. But then I don't understand the Meiri's question. How come when I finish off the sefer, it's not makar b'patish? For him, makar b'patish is only, he says, if I change the item. Is writing, finishing the letter, changing the item? Right, he says this is the creating of the item. No, but he says because it's the creating of the item. Zev Lev implies I have to physically change the construct of the item. That's makar b'patish, not adding information. That's not what the Meiri says. The Meiri says because makar b'patish is post the etzem creation. That's not... I don't think the same argument at all. Yeah.
When do I left? Why isn't making those zeros and ones?
No, that exists somewhere in inner depths of the computer.
I'm saying it's not actually coming out.
Zeros and ones? No, they're not zeros and ones.
It's not like a lot of.
I don't think so. I don't understand computers. Who's that? But I don't think that there are zeros and ones floating around.
There are iron filaments that are aligned either north south or south north. That gets run through a Boolean switch.
Still don't understand
it's
that.
Just iron, little pieces of iron, like little tiny magnets that are either north, south, or south, north.
We call them ones and zeros, the same, but it's not really ones and zeros.
That's how it looks on the screen to us. But it's really like a magnet, that are just a lot of tiny magnets that are switched around.
And that's the story with Kosev Sheino Shokayama. Another rule that the Mishnah has is that a person has to write b'yamin. If he writes b'smol, then he's pater. That's kalachayan. But the Mishnah does say that a roshem b'smol is chayiv. If a person draws b'smol, is chayiv. So the Gemara says, who is that going? According to that, it's going according to Rabbi Yossi, that roshem is its own av.
Who says that roshem b'smol is chayiv?
The Mishnah. It's the Mishnah and Shabbos. But the Mishnah says that, the Gemara says, that's going according to Rabbi Yossi, that Roshim is its own Av Melacha. We discussed this last time also. And for Rabbi Yossi, there's two Avos Melachos. There's Kosev and there's Roshim. And the Tanakhama disagrees. So the Ran there explains for Rabbi Yossi, why is a Roshim B'smol Chayev? So he says, because people, when they write letters, they generally write with their right hand. But when they're just scribbling or doodling, they can write with either hand. So Biyosi therefore says that Roshem B'smol is also chayiv, because that's the normal way people do Roshem. They're not mak, but they only do it with their right hand. The implication is that this halacha, that a person who writes B'smol or does something B'smol is pater, is a halacha that's local to Kosev. wouldn't apply to other malachas. How do I know? Because for Rabbi Yosef, Roshem is another malacha, and there's no heter of bismol. So perhaps this halacha of doing something bismol is local to Kosev. And that's the way the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chai Adam, that this halacha of bismol, doing something with the left hand, being considered kalachar yad, is a local to Kosev. Why? Because there's a Tosefta. The Tosefta says that a toesh bismol, a person wants a grape on Shabbos and he rips it off the vine with his left hand. So the Tosefta says he's chayiv. Or a person is motzi mi rishus li rishus bismol. So the Mishnah says in Shabbos is chayiv. Why? Doing something bismol is pater by Kosev. It's local to Kosev. Right. That's only to be considered called Tarkua. It's called Tarkua versus Shabbos. It's called Tarkua versus Shabbos. What's problematic, though, is that there's a Ran in Perek Bavos at the Mila where the Ran says that Hamal Bismol is Potter. A Mila, the person does a Mila Shalab Bismana on Shabbos, and he does it with his left hand, is Potter. Rabbi Eger also says in the Chidushin to Mesachas Chuvin on Daf Tezvav that Hashochei B'Shabbos, the Mishnah there discusses Hashochei B'Shabbos, that Rabbi Eger says, but if he shechs b'small, he's potter. Why? But we just said that this is halacha that's local to Kosev. So Chazin Yecheskel, Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, his commentary on the Tosefta and Shabbos, which discusses Hatoesh b'small, says his own distinction. He says he thinks that if it's a malacha that's normally done with one hand, then bismol plays an issue. Because if it's normally done with one hand, I probably only use my right hand. Obviously, we're talking about right-handed people. But if it's a malacha that's done with two hands, like, I guess, moti moshus moshus, I normally carry it with two hands. So if I just use one hand, and it happens to be my left hand, that's not a shinoi. That's not kalacha yam. Person normally shechs with one hand. You normally use two hands. So then, if I do it b'smol, that's kalachayad. Or a person normally is mal with one hand, not two. And b'smol is part. The person writes with one hand, not two. Then b'smol is a p'tur. But a motzim yishus yishus or a toleish, all these things normally done with either one or other or two hands, then there's no p'tur of b'smol. That's his distinction. But there's a little bit more to it. As Eliyahu says, this is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, that Hamochek Bismol is Pater. So the Afikayam has one siman, I think, on all the Lamed, deals with a bunch of the Lamed Tes Malachas. So that one siman, he quotes this Eliyahu, that Hamochek Bismol is Pater, and he says, why should that be? Kosev Bismol, I understand. People normally write with their right hand, so if I write with my left hand, that's a Shinoi. Mochek, people are not makbid to do a dafka with their right hand, so why should mochek bismol be potter? Right. So the answer seems to be that mochek, which is the shadow malacha of kosev, parallel malacha, is patterned after kosev. Whatever is kosev, the opposite is mochek. Whatever is not kosev, the opposite is not mochek. So since Kosev Bismol is Potter, Mochek Bismol is also Potter. But then what comes out is that it has nothing to do with whether it's the normal way of doing something, not the normal way of doing something. It's Malacha oriented. If this Malacha is normally done Bimin, if I do it Bismol, I'm Potter. Whether this case, this scenario within that Malacha would have been Dark or Bismol doesn't make a difference. Like Mochek, Dark or Bismol. Doesn't make a difference. The malacha is either a yamin-oriented malacha or not. It goes based on malacha. This seems to be the answer to the Achronim, the Minchas Chinuch, the Kasha, and the Tanakama. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yossi. That Roshem is not a av b'fnei atzmo. It's related to Kosev. It's a told of Kosev. And that's the way the Rambam paskes, that a person, a tzar tzura, is a told of Kosev. So Minchas Chinuch, say, wait. But then why, only for Rabbi Yossi you chayv if you do it b'smol. For the Tanakhama, for the Chachamim, if I do it b'smol, I'm still, I'm putter, because it's related to Kosev. But why? If the whole Svar Rabbi Yossi was that Roshem, when people doodle, they don't doodle Dafka Bimin, they doodle even Bismol, that should exist for the Tanakhama too, even though it's a Tolda of Kosev. If people normally do it Bismol, it should be Chai Bismol. That's the Minchas Chinas Kasha. For example, this is the way I think a lot of poskim assume. The Magen Avraham says in Hilchos Tefillin that it's not only kosev if I write letters. Let's say I have a stamp, and I stamp my name. So Magen Avraham says that's also kosev in Hilchos Shabbos. Yibichayev. So the Orcha Shabbos says, and there's no difference if I do it b'small or b'yamin, because when I stamp, people are not marked with dafka to stamp b'yamin. They'll stamp b'small. So you can be chayev. It goes based on the case. But it seems like from the Eliyahu Rabbah, perhaps that's the pshat in the Tanna Kamma, that Rosh and Bismol is pater for us. For Biosi, it's a separate av. It's not related to Kosev. But for the Tanna Kamma, we assume that Rosh and Bismol is pater because whatever is subsumed or included within Kosev, Bismol is pater because Kosev is Yemin oriented. It goes based on Malacha, not based on the Maisa. You want to answer something?
Yeah, I'm just not sure about the distinction. You're saying if it's malach oriented, it applies all across the board for code.
Within that malacha,
and whatever.
And any malacha which is not yamin oriented, even if I'll do it, even if the rest of the world would do this specific ma'aseh b'yamin, and I choose to do it b'small, there would be no heter, even though it's not normal, because in that malacha it's not yamin oriented. Meaning we don't view each ma'aseh. Do most people do b'yamin or b'small? And I say, okay, if I do b'small, it's kolach yad. Kolach yad is determined based on the malacha as a whole, as a group. Similarly, the Eliyahu Rabbah seems to be with Shitaso on this point. The Eliyahu Rabbah says that we're going to discuss next time the words that are on a binding. Sometimes, stamped Mendel Goddess in the library. So, okay, when I open that on Shabbos, is that mochek? When I close it, is that kosev? So the Eliyahu Rabbah said, we're machmir, it's a chumrah not to do that. So the Eliyahu Rabbah says, even if I do it b'small, it's a problem. I'm sorry, the Eliyahu Rabbah says, but if I do it b'small, it's not a problem, it's kalach yad. So the Avnei Nezer in the Tshuva asks the Eliyahu Rabbah, why should b'small play a role here? People don't normally close books, dafka, with their right hand. So why should b'small be a kalach yad? So it seems to be that the Eliyahu Rabbah again is going with Shita, so that it's malacha oriented. And since kosev is generally b'yamin, closing the book b'small would be kalach yad. Moshe Weiss has a piece about this, where he wonders about this halacha. He says he wants to know, he discussed it at the beginning, kalach yad, is that based on malacha or is it based on the ma'isa? He has different marim makomos than we presented. But I think it's a machlokus of these achronim. But he tells a story there, very interesting. He thinks that this was a machlok between the stipler and his friend. He says a gon echad, he doesn't tell you who it was, that they were both drafted into the Russian army, and where obviously they were not Shalom Shabbos, the Russian army was not Shalom Shabbos, and they were told that they had to, they were practicing shooting targets. So him and his friend, and whoever hit the target, when you hit the target, you were done, but you had to hit the target. So he and his friend had a machlokas about how should they shoot. The friend thought, the Gon Echad thought, that they should shoot b'yamin. Because what's the malach when you shoot a gun is havara, you make a fire. It burns the gunpowder. So the friend thought that they should shoot, b'yamin. Because there's no heter of kalach yad by havara. Even though most people shoot a gun b'yamin, it doesn't make a difference. It goes malacha oriented, and people start fires. They don't necessarily, in general, there's no heter b'small by havara. Even though in this specific case of shooting guns, it normally is b'yamin, havara, it's malacha oriented. That's what the Gon Echad, that's what his friend thought. That's malacha oriented. And havara, there's no malacha, so you should shoot b'yamin, and you'll be mamayit. You'll shoot the target the first time, and you won't have to worry about it. And Steiber thought, no, that there's a halach of kalach yad, because in this ma'isa, people normally do b'yamin. It's ma'isa-oriented, not malacha-oriented. And since, even though it's b'small, so it's better to do it, even if you have to do it many times, it's better to do it many times b'small than to do it one time b'yamin. So the sof ma'isa, this is all gadol stories like this, that Rav Shlomo, that Steifler shot with his left hand and hit the target the first time, so he says here. And hit the first time is in parentheses. And the Gonechad had to shoot a few times, even though he was shooting shooting beam in. So his disciple held that he was right. So from the Maisa that he was right, that's Maisa oriented. But it could be that that's the Machlok, so all these Achronim. The Eli Rabbah seems to hold that it's Malacha oriented, and some Achronim held. The Nezer, the Milchus Chinuch held that it's Maisa oriented. Okay.